And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Monday morning, taking a break from Open Line for a few minutes as we are talking to Representative Jake LaTurner. He is joining us on the phone this morning. And, sir, good morning. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Glad to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with you. A few things that we did want to discuss this morning. And the first thing we would like to bring up, first of all, of course, all the things that ended last week, of course, with Bob Dole unfortunately passing the weekend before. Just talk a little bit about his legacy, because he definitely left a big legacy, not only in the state of Kansas, but for the entire nation.
He really did. A humble kid coming out of very humble circumstances out of Russell, Kansas, affected by the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression, and then went on to serve his country in World War II, being injured in a major way, won 2 Purple Hearts, Silver Star, and took 3 years to recover. He was in a body cast for almost 3 years, and then didn't let it get in his way, went on to serve in the State House as county attorney, went on to serve in the U.S. House and the Senate for nearly 30 years, and was the Republican presidential nominee. A life well-lived, and someone that we should all hold up in Kansas for our kids and for ourselves to admire and to try to rise to his level of civility and ability to get things done. If you care about Social Security, and a lot of your listeners do, you should thank Bob Dole. Bob Dole put together the deal in the early 80s that put Social Security on a sustainable path until 2030. We're going to have to deal with the crisis pretty quick, but he did that. Millions of kids are going to bed without being hungry tonight because of Bob Dole. So Bob Dole is a life well-lived and someone that we should admire.
Absolutely. Definitely agree with you on that. And, of course, his passing last week definitely left kind of a void. But, again, like you said, a life well-lived for Bob Dole. So, also, would like to talk to you, of course, what is the status? Where are we at right now with President Joe Biden's Build Back Better agenda? And just kind of your thoughts on it as of right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because what has happened in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate up until Friday has been a lot of gimmicks, a lot of fake math, a lot of gimmicks that the Democrats have knowingly done. When the House voted on Build Back Better, Nancy Pelosi said it's paid for. This whole thing is paid for. And the CBO said at the time that it added $300 billion to our deficit. $300 billion is a staggering figure. Just as a reference point, the all-funds budget for the entire state of Kansas is somewhere around $15 billion. So $300 billion to the deficit is what they said at the time. Now, on Friday, the CBO came out with new numbers that take out all the gimmicks. And what I mean by gimmicks is the Democrats take the revenue from their plan, all the tax increases in their plan, and they extend them out over a decade. Then they take the spending, and they say, well, we're only going to have this program for 1 year, or we're going to have it for 2 years. So they can keep the spending side down and the revenue side up to try to lie to the American people, to be frank. What they came out with on Friday is they extended all the programs for a decade, which is what we're actually dealing with. That's the reality of the situation. And as you know well and your listeners know well, once you pass something in Washington, D.C., it's sure tough to get rid of it. So they extend all the programs for a decade, and what they found was the total cost of the plan isn't $1.75 trillion. It's $5 trillion. It's $5 trillion. It doesn't increase the deficit by $300 billion. It increases it by $3 trillion. This is a lot of nonsense. And I agree with what some have said over the weekend. The House ought to have to re-vote on this legislation so that representatives, the few moderates that there are in the Democrat Party, and there are just a few, can actually have real numbers when they make this decision. And I pray that Joe Manchin in the Senate, or Kristen Sinema, or both, stand up and say, we cannot afford this. That's the truth. We cannot afford this package, $5 trillion package, $3 trillion added to the deficit. It is irresponsible.
We've been listening to Joe Manchin actually quite a bit, especially if we paid attention to the news quite a bit. He's been saying this whole time, hey, give me some real numbers. Give me some real numbers on this. I want to know what this really is. And it's kind of taken forever to kind of get those numbers on it. But he's been one of those ones, even though he's a Democrat, he's one of more of those moderate ones who he likes to reach out to both sides. But he's been saying this whole time, give me some real numbers, and now we'll see what happens if that does get to the Senate, though.
Well, it's important to be rooted in reality. You know, let's have the truth of what you're doing, and then let people make a decision, vote up or down on it. But yeah. When you don't give people the real numbers, it's really tough to make a decision. And I want to say this, too. So often, we talk about some of the provisions in the bill, whether it's child care or whatever the case may be, and the Democrats talk about the need, and they try to tug on the heartstrings of the American people. It's not to say that all of their goals, all the things they want to achieve, are bad goals. It's to say that the government coming in and taking over huge sectors of our economy is not the right way. And it's also to say this. I have four young children, Suzanne and I do. They're 10, 9, 7, and 5. And we are $28 trillion in deficit and in debt and counting. That is a moral issue. We are going to enjoy, we are enjoying the benefits of things today that we're going to ask our children and our grandchildren to pay for. That is immoral. And we have to stand up, no matter how good-hearted a program may be, we have to stand up and say, how much does this cost? And how are we going to pay for it? Because there's only two ways, as you know. We can either cut government spending to pay for things, or we can increase taxes. And so if you want to have a program, if you want to create a new government program, stand up on your own two feet and be honest, because our children and our grandchildren deserve better.
Definitely agree with you on that. I have two young children of my own who are 12 and 13 that would definitely actually end up having to pay for that when they get older as well. So I definitely agree with you on that. Another thing that's been kind of a big thing as of late has been the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and the debt ceiling. That vote in the Senate will be coming up a little bit later on, I think, sometime this week. But just kind of your thoughts on that, as the debt ceiling that we've been talking about that the past couple of weeks, it's been, you know, just kind of stretched out, kind of kicked the can down the road, and it's been voted on to go into February, but I think the Senate is also voting on it as well. Just kind of your thoughts on both of those things.
Well, look, first of all, the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling is something that you have to increase to match the spending bills that you've already passed. So when you pass spending bills, that's the real vote. You pass spending bills, and it increases how much you're going to spend. And so then you have to increase the debt ceiling along with it. That's the normal course of events, and America should never default. We should always pay our bills. What makes the debt ceiling different right now is that the Democrats want to spend $5 trillion. They want to spend $5 trillion, and as I mentioned before, it increases the deficit by $3 trillion. So I'm not going to be a part of giving the Democrats a blank check to increase the spending as much as they want to. And as many of your listeners have seen watching the news, the Democrats have tried a lot of different things here. They want to just suspend the debt ceiling instead of actually putting a number to it for the next year, just giving them a blank check. So again, normally, in the normal course of events, you have to fight these spending battles in appropriations bills. You don't do it with the debt ceiling. The way the Democrats are behaving, I am not going to be a part of giving them a blank check to spend trillions of dollars with no way to pay for it. On the NDAA that you mentioned, the NDAA, it's something that I'm really proud of. It gives our military folks a very much-needed raise. It includes money for increased border support with our National Guard. It took out the red flag laws, which I vowed I would not vote for when it came back from the Senate if it included red flag laws. It also says that if you are in the military and you do not want to get the vaccine, that the military can't dishonorably discharge you, which was just a ridiculous thing. So the NDAA is something that is vital. It makes sure that it supports our military. It makes sure that we have the support that we need overseas. And like I said, gives our men and women in uniform a much-needed pay increase. And let's, as we're talking about pay increases, I want to talk about what Kansans are going through right now. Kansas is dealing with a 39-year high inflation. 39-year high. Gas prices are up as high, about 55%, as high as they were since the Obama administration. And you know whose paychecks aren't increasing to keep up with that? It's the people of Kansas. They are dealing with inflation in a major way, and this administration not only isn't doing anything to help it, by passing this $5 trillion package, it's going to hurt it. You can't pump $5 trillion into our economy and not impact inflation, which is already in a terrible place.
Yeah, it's definitely gotten higher. I mean, we're at least around here, we're paying $3 for a gallon of gas, which, to tell you the truth, I'm 43 years old. I've never seen it ever get this high. I remember paying, 89 cents for a gallon of gas. Now we're up to $3. So it's just it's amazing how high gas has gotten. I've never seen it get up to $3 before, and it's just it definitely hurts our pocketbooks. Me included. It kind of cuts down on where you can go. I mean, it really takes away money that could be used somewhere else for like food or something else.
Well, you're exactly right. You remember when we were growing up? I'm not too far from your age. When we were growing up, you could go to the gas station with a handful of quarters and get pretty far down the road with your gas tank.
Exactly.
They'd laugh you out of the gas station now.
Yeah.
It's costing so much money to fill up your tank, and when you go to the grocery store, you're experiencing it. Families are hurting out there, and they need a federal government that understands that, and a federal government that will get our own spending under control so we can stop exacerbating the problem. Kansas families every single day are making tough choices. Do we buy a full tank of gas this time, or do we see if we can't get by till the next paycheck? Are we not able to buy our kid the basketball shoes they need so we can make sure that we have the money to cover our prescription drugs or our electric bill? These are tough choices that people make every day, and they are disgusted, rightly, by their federal government, who are unwilling to make tough choices. The federal government just kicks the can down the road and never levels with the American people and solves the problem.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with on that. There's always tough choices that have to be made, and it's really not fair to the people to have to make those kinds of choices. It should always have to be, the needs always need to be filled, and there's a lot of needs out there that everybody does need at this time. Another thing, of course, as we are doing our holiday shopping, of course, supply chain issues are impacting that, and it's not only impacting just like getting gifts and stuff, it's impacting everything. It's impacting groceries. You'll see like some shelves that are completely empty because stuff hasn't come in yet. Just kind of your thoughts on the way the supply chain issues are, and is there a way we can start filling in those gaps to kind of get things, back to not maybe pre-pandemic levels, but get things flowing a little bit more smoothly?
Yes, we have to address this issue. The supply chain issue is a major one. And I think what we're learning, what I hope we've learned throughout the pandemic, is that we cannot rely on China. We cannot have single-source suppliers out of China and count on them to live up to their end of the deal. We have to expand trade. We have to expand our market so that we have suppliers across the globe so we are more diversified. Too many of our suppliers are single-sourced, and they're out of China, and we can't rely on these folks anymore. We have to start producing more in our own country. Specifically, we have to start producing our own medicine. I hope to goodness we've all learned that during the pandemic. We've got to do a better job with this. But as we talked about, whether it's the supply chain that we've got to work on, whether it is workforce issues, your listeners out there, if they own a small business, I guarantee you they're having issues finding workers to fill jobs. And that's being exacerbated by vaccine mandates. It was exacerbated through the first part of this year by the government competing with the private sector for people to go to work or sit on the couch and collect a government check. And then we're dealing with inflation that we talked about. More expensive to go to the grocery store, more expensive to go to the gas station. We have got to start working for the American people. It's really sad to see an administration and a Democrat-led House and Senate for all of these problems to just fall on deaf ears.
Yes, sir. Again, we'll definitely agree with you on that. Well, sir, I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. If somebody would like to get a hold of you, if they would like to discuss maybe one of the problems that we've talked about or just kind of want to air a grievance, how can they get a hold of you to basically how can they contact you?
I'm so glad you asked that question. Listen, the people of Kansas need to reach out when they have issues with the federal government. You know, one of the most important things to me that's near and dear to my heart is constituent services. People, when they have an issue with their veterans benefits, when they have an issue with Social Security, with a passport issue, whatever the case may be, they need to reach out to our office, and we will be there to help in any way that we can. If we're screwing something up, call us and tell us that. If you have an opinion on a piece of legislation, let us know that. And I'd be happy to give out our number. The Pittsburgh number is 620-308-7450. Let me repeat that. 620-308-7450. And the Topeka number is 785-205-5253. Again, that's 785-205-5253. We are here to do everything we can. I can't promise people a great result every time, but I will guarantee them a great effort. We will go to the mat for people and do our very best to solve their problems.
Well, again, sir, I really do appreciate you spending some time with us this morning talking about these issues. And until next time we talk to you, we hope you have a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.